Okay, we're starting the ninth parak tonight. That's Lamed Zayin Mabez, right? No, Lamed Tes Mabez. Okay, finally you get the shatnez. The only thing which is prohibited because of shatnez is wool and linen together. The only thing which becomes tame through tumah toras begadim is wool and linen together, is wool or linen. And according to the Volushin and Shavish Mikdash, the Beit HaKohen are not comprised of any other substance, El Tzemer Pishim, other than wool and linen. Tzemer Ugmalim and Tzemer Chelim. Let's say you took camel wool, which is permissible, and you mixed Tzemer Chelim, the sheep wool, which is not permissible, together, Shetarfen Zebezeh, Im Romin Agalim, and the sheep wool was Batel in the majority of camel wool, then you can mix this mixture, you can weave this mixture in to flax, in other words, to linen. Okay, so it's only wool with linen, where the wool has not previously been woven into a garment in which it is the minority. Okay, is that clear? So, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I know what to say, but
if the wool was woven in, if sheep wool was mixed in, let's not say woven, let's make it simple. If sheep wool was mixed in with camel wool, and it's batel berov, because the camel wool is the rov, right, then you can put the wool together with the flax, with the linen. Okay, that's not not shatnez. Im rov min arachelim, osur. If the majority is sheep wool, then of course it's osur, because then the minority camel wool is bought on the row of sheep wool. Mechza, mechza, 50-50, it's osur as well. V'cheina kanbis v'apishton shetirfan zevezeh. Flax and linen and marijuana are similar, right? Linen and hemp,
yeah.
Right? Hemp is similar to linen, but hemp is permissible with wool, right? So therefore, let's say you mix the linen in to the hemp, and the majority is hemp, then you could smoke your garments, and you can also make them. Okay? Self-immolation would be advisable in that case. Hashirayim v'akalach, silk, which various different types of silk, which are called shirayim v'akalach, emayim v'shuklam, strictly speaking, there's no kilayim v'daraiso. Aval, a certain name, marisayim, because silk is similar to wool, and I don't know how, but because similar to wool, silk is similar to wool, so therefore it's also to make a garment out of silk and linen, mi de rabbanon, because of this marisayim issue. We've named marisayim. Hakoyim v'aksosos, pillows and mattresses, emayim v'shuklam, there's no kilayim in them, uvachlo yebesor nogebem, as long as your flesh doesn't touch them. And the Gemara is going to eradicate this permissibility, this kula. Okay, there's not a local maisa. Ain't a right looking line. There's no minimum time span for wearing kilayim. When you put it on, it's also right away, right? Similarly, lo yubash kilayim agabi asora. You're not allowed to wear kilayim even on top of 10 garments. I feel like novus amechus, even if it's for such an honorable goal as to steal by meches. Right? Nonetheless, you're not allowed to do it. Okay? By the way, the tradition to steal by the Israeli mechas obviously comes from the Gemara way back when, because here it is. Okay. What? It's non-Jewish, right. But they treat the Israeli mechas as a non-Jewish mechas as well. All right. There's nobody who doesn't. From the most ardent Neturei Kartanik to the most ardent religious Zionist, it's a national pastime to cheat mechas in Israel. All right. What? To cheat mechas. All right. Says more further. Ain't also mishum kilayim. It's not also mishum kilayim chul. You have to have specifically linen wool. Ksiv lo sil ba shatnez. Says you shouldn't wear shatnez. Tzemer upishlim yachdov. Wool and linen together. Ha'isya mer ain't also elam yilil bosh. I might say it's forbidden only to wear. Talmud Lomar Yalo Yala Alecha. There's another puzzle that says it shouldn't come upon you. It means it shouldn't come upon you. I might say you can't even be carrying a load made of kilayim, because the load of kilayim is upon you, literally, like a load on your back. I'm a little stupid. No, that's not prohibited. It says you're not allowed to wear. Just like that, what you wear is something which affords the body pleasure. The only thing which is impermissible because of shatness is something which the rock provides pleasure to the body, meaning it protects. It protects either because of the heat in the summer or because of the cold in the winter. That's the definition of a garment. Okay? Says the Gemara, lays the dover, that's the case. Why does it say, lays the dover, therefore, for what purpose? Namar does it say, lo ya'le alecha. It shouldn't come upon you. If the only parameter of prohibition is when you are wearing it, why does it say it shouldn't come upon you? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Nicha bar Saba, and Rabbi Yonah should say here, B'shem Rabbi Zira said, Shemi abegit gadol, let's say wearing an oversized garment. And yesh bo kilayim, in one corner of it there's kilayim. Umunach bar, it's in that corner, is dragging on the ground. Okay? Umiktsaso ein bo. And the rest of it, the other part of it, doesn't have kilayim in. Lo yichaseh bo mitzad sheni, you're not allowed to wear even the part of the garment which has no kilayim in it. Interesting, okay? In other words, if you can isolate the part of the garment which has kilayim, and you can have that drag on the ground, it still doesn't make it mutter. Okay? Says the Gemara, when I say linen, do I mean even linen made out of sea flax? Afilu cannabis, even hemp. No, it says semer upishtim. Mat semer she'en lo shem levai, just like wool has no additional name to describe it. Afishton, so afkodavar she'en lo shem levai, so to anything else which doesn't have an additional name to describe it. As opposed to sea linen, or as opposed to, what was the other one? Hemp, right. Minayin chain lo shein levai, we know that wool doesn't have any additional descriptive name to it. Amar Shubin Levi, Ksiv, it says, Umesha melech moav haya nokeid. It says, Umesha king moav was a nokeid. Mao nokeid, what's a nokeid? A roe, a shepherd. Be that as it may, so it continues on, it says, Veishu levi, so we turn to the king of Israel, Me elef karim, 100,000 sheep, Umea elef elim temer, 100,000 rams of wool. So Elachol Kari, it says Semer, it says the rams are the Stipeson points out, it doesn't say 100,000 wool rams, but 100,000 rams full of wool. So from this we see that Stam wool is what it grows on ram's back, right? What grows on ram's back? Wool. And that's wool. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but the bottom line is, the Pasuk didn't feel compelled to call it Tzemer Elim, right? The wool of rams. So rather said, rams full of wool. So we see that ram's wool is stam wool. It requires no additional descriptive phrase. And that's what teaches us that Tzemer is whatever Tzemer is called without any additional descriptor. And therefore, Elochol Korit Tzemer, we have nothing which is called wool, which the Torah forbade its kilayim. Ella Tzemer Elim Bilvad, only ram's wool. Okay? And Matame bin Goyim. Similarly, no garment can become Tame with Saras unless it is Ella Tzemer Upishtim. Not nylon, not polyester, none of that stuff can be Matame bin Goyim. Okay? No synthetic fabric, not even cotton, which is not synthetic. Tilsiv, it says, Bebega Tzemer Upega Pishtim. It has to be a wool garment or flax, a linen garment. What about color? Can the garment be dyed and still be metami b'tzaras? No. Tamulomar beged semer u beged pishtim. Has to be either a wool garment or a linen garment. Ma pishtim b'kibriyosa, just like pishtim means the way it comes off, linen, plain, which is off-white, after griyosa, so too the wool cannot be colored wool. Colored wool cannot be makab on the goyim.
It would have been difficult anyway to look at colored garments.
That's true, but we're learning it not just from the practical standpoint, but from the homiletic standpoint. That's correct. But well, you're right. It would have been difficult anyway. You know what? Fine. So it can't be dyed by human. But what about if you get black wool off the back of a black... off the back of a black sheep, right? Black wool off the back of a black sheep, right? Maybe in that case, the wool garment which is colored, it does accept saras. No, there's a connection made between the linen and the wool. My pishtim levana, just like the linen is white, avtemer levan, so too the wool is white. Tininon train clothing, velo damion dain ledain. Now, we learned here two principles, but they're not similar to each other. That's bothering us. What are they? Tininon ein iser mishum kalayim el term pishtim. There's no prohibition kalayim unless it's wool linen, but it's bain tzvulin bain levanin. It doesn't matter if the wool is colored or not colored yet. At the same time, Tanina, we learned, Ametime Goim Elatemer Pishtim Uruvad Levonim. That by Negoim, where it's got to be wool linen, it also has to be not only just wool linen, but it also has to be uncolored, undyed. Why the difference in parameter between Kilayim and between Saras? Okay?
One is Tuman, the other is
Kilayim. Yeah, it seems the Psukim seem to be phrased the same way. They both speak about Semer Upishtim. So our question is, where in the Psukim do you find the difference? Not in the concept. Okay, since the Psukim are phrased the same way. So it says, Rabbi Yonah Butzaira, boy, kumi Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Yonah Butzaira asked for her mother, the Shaila, Tamanato Amar, Ben Tzvim, Ben Levonim, by Kilayim, you say, by Shatan, as you say, it's whether it's colored or white. And here by Negoima, you say Ubilvad Levonim only if it's white. Amar Lesu said Shaniyahi. By Taras, it's different. Shoshana Olava Kosta Pasuk repeats itself there. Tzemel, Tzemel, Shnei Pomim. It says wool twice. From this we derive. What do you derive? Ma Pishton Kibriyasa, Tzemel Kibriyasa. Since it says, it says Tzemer twice, it says Pishtim twice. So it says both of them twice, so ever derived that there's an additional parameter which exists by Taras and not by Shatnez, which is that has to be specifically natural color. Okay? Rabbi Zira said, Ksib Ksoin is about Kodesh Yubat. It says that a Kohen should wear a Ksones, a Bat. A holy bad. What does bad mean? Bad shu'ol yichidi bad means a plant which grows by itself in single strands. What grows in single strands? It's a flax plant. That's how we learned that it's linen. Vare asimor very temeral yichidi. One second. Sheep's wool also comes out in individual hairs. It's not like cotton, which is a ball, right? It's an individual hair. So maybe wool is also kosher for big tekuna. Says more no. Perish Bekabol, it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, V'lo Yalei Aleihem, there should not come upon them Tzemel, wool, B'shorsa Mishari Apnimis Ubaisa, when they serve in the Kodesh, right? Meaning from within the, from within the Ulam and the Heichal. There they should,
we're talking about a few resonate animals. We do not have to. So I agreed one day.
I'm sorry, it's not the Heichal and the Ulam. It's Kodesh Kodoshim. It's going by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. It says the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur should not wear tzemer. He shouldn't wear wool. But what's he wearing then, obviously? If not wool, then linen, right? So from this we say that loyalim tzemer v'sharsim sharp name is b'boisa. That must mean that when the Torah says they should wear ksonas bat kodesh, the Kohen Gadol should wear ksonas bat kodesh, it says in Yechezkel you can't wear wool, so what by definition must the bad be? Linen.
Wasn't the
Avnet? Yeah, the Avnet was wool. The Avnet, but that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas which you don't see here. Machlokas whether the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot was shatnez or not. That's true, but there is such a machlokas. But I don't know, I don't remember if the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur wore a colored Avnet when he went to Kodesh Kodoshim. I think it was completely white, his garments. So I don't think he wore a colored avnet. Pretty sure it was just a pure linen, pure linen. The colored and the shatnez are linked. I think it was just pure unbleached linen or bleached linen, whatever, but natural color. Okay? In any event, and the grot takes out the grot changes next words to ole. Hamichutz ole aleim. Outside the kodesh, there they can wear the wool, which I assume is in the besides the eight begadim of the kohen gadol, which didn't include wool, it also was, as you said, in the avnet. Minayin shemutarim b'kelayim. How do we know that the kohanim are who are allowed to wear kelayim the beis hamikdash? Shneimar says they should wear beis hamitznefesh sheish, the hat made out of sheish, which we will assume is linen. There's parei amigbo sheish, which is the adornments of their hat are linen. The zmichta say avad. Their pants are sheish, their linen, marzor, woven. Vesavnet sheish marzor, and the belt, the gartel, which is woven in linen, and includes also tcheles, vargomon, v'tolashoni. Uksiv, and it says, how do we know that sheish means here that it's linen? Uksiv, it says, parei pishtim yor rosheim, rosham. They should have hats of linen on their head. And they should have pants of linen on their hips. And they shouldn't put on. They shouldn't hitch them under their places in the place where they sweat. In other words, the pants shouldn't come up to their armpits.
Huh?
It's possible. I don't know. I don't remember in what context, but it's possible. In any event, so all these things are linen, because learned Xereshova, Shesh from Shesh, and Shesh mi Pare, and the Shesh, of course, is learned from Pare, and the Pare from Pare, which means that we learned that since it says explicitly from that by the hat, that the hat was linen, so extrapolate everything else from that. Okay? Says the Gemara, well, Pari Pishtim it says in Yecheskel. The other things it says in the Chumash, but we learn out everything in the Chumash from Yecheskel. Says the Gemara, a new statement. I believe it's a new statement. And it's telling us, what is Tchelos made out of? Don't think Tchelos is a natural dye. Rather, it's an animal dye. We know Tchelos can come from indigo, from plant indigo. It says more, Mash Shoni Dover Tolas, Dover Shish Bochaim, just like the Shoni Tolas is a worm, right? Tolas Shoni is made of the Shoni Tolas, which is a worm. The cochineal extract, I believe. Okay? Stuff which goes into red candies. Mash Shoni Tolas, not kosher ones. Mash Shoni Tolas, Dover Shish Bochaim, which has a life force. I've called the Rosh Hashanah, so Tchelos for our government must be made of something which has a life force. Of course, we know it's a conch, the Murex trunculus. Says the Gemara further. No, that's a different thing. That's the brisker thing. That's a secretion from an insect. But to lash on it, they actually grind up the insect and make red dye. That's why there's no kosher fruit cocktail anymore. I don't know if you've missed it, but you might have noticed that there's no kosher fruit cocktail with cherries anymore. You didn't notice that?
That's part of the cocktail.
Yeah. You haven't noticed it, have you? Because they used to have... No, maraschino cherries, this was explained by Rabbi Shandloff one time. Maraschino cherries, they can use a dye which seeps out, because they're only cherries in the maraschino cherry jar. So they use a dye, one of the dyes which seeps. But in fruit cocktail, they can't use a dye which seeps, because it would make all the fruit red, which would not look nice. So they used to use one of the carcinogen dyes, you know, red dye number 40, whatever it was. But they got picky on that. So therefore, they started reverting to natural dye. A natural dye which causes a red, which does not bleed, is Tolas Shoni, cocktail extract. So they just pound the bugs into a dye. And that is not kosher. So therefore, fruit cocktail with cherries is no longer kosher. Can't get a fruit cocktail with cherries. Happened about 3 years ago. Yeah. Obviously not eating fruit cocktail. You must not have had fruit cocktail for the past 3 years. Yes. Okay. You don't know, you didn't remember this either?
No.
Okay. So that's the last one. It's something which is a live worm. So the tcheles for agomen are things which come from live animals. See, you come here to learn Torah Mado. In any event, says the Gemara further, Matzemer sheyeh shein lo shem levai, just like Tzemer has no additional descriptive name attached to it, of pishtim shein lem shein levai, so to linen's gavisa, which has no descriptive name attached to it. Rabbi Yoina oila bar Yishmael, seh b'shem Rabbi Lezer, Tzemer ufishtim, the woolen linen shetorfa, which you mix together at usher, are forbidden. In other words, there's no bit of baroque back in line. Let's say we have 1,000 measures of wool and 1 measure of linen, and you weave them together, there's no bit of baroque, because the Torah asked the tarovis. The Torah had said even if they get mixed together, we don't care, we don't look at ratios. Tzemer u'pishtim me'achdav are the case, one of those rare cases, which defies the principle of bittul barov. Okay? So even when you mix them together, it doesn't do any good. Rav amar oser b'tal roivson. Rav said it's forbidden when they're mixed together. I skipped. Keterosa, sorry, what does he do? Maybe lichavot tzemer gmalim u'vatlon. You can bring a measure, a larger measure of camel hair ahead of time and cancel the sheep's wool, and then it's permissible to put the mixture in together with the linen. Thank you. Abba Bar Avuna B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, Tzemer Fishtim Shetorfan B'Tolon. If you did mix them together, they're batal. The one's going to attack this a minute and say, what kind of nonsense is this? Rav Amar Oser B'Tal Choyvson. Rav says, if they're mixed together, it's forbidden. Mama Flieg. Does Abba Bar Avuna name Rabbi Yirmiyahu argue on that? How could that be? It's impossible. Says Amar Rabbi Shoso Beged Bifnei Atzmo. That which Rav is talking about, that it's forbidden, is when you're mixing tzemer and pishtim together in their own garment without any other ingredients. Madam Rabbi Yirmiyahu, that which Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, it's permissible, by he the boy ma'avto in chora, we already mixed the lamb's wool in with camel wool, so the lamb wool is bottled in the camel wool, and that's why it's okay in that case. Okay? Rabbi Hillel be Rabbi Valus. Hillel, the son of Rabbi Valus, Hayelo Begib Shloshim Ribo Dinar, he had a Savile Row suit that cost him an astronomical amount of money here, 300,000 dinar. Viave Rabbi, and he gave it to Rabbi. Matzah Bokilayim, Rabbi found Kilayim. In the old days, they didn't have shot in his laboratories, so guess what Rabbi did? You don't have to guess. This Sarfo, he burnt it. Rabbi Mona Hilo Begib Shloshim Ribo Dinar. Rabbi Mona had a Savile Row suit, right? Viyav El Rabbi Chia Barado. He gave it to Chia Barado. He brought it to Chia Barado. And asked Chia Barado, you should do it. Had shatnas in it. Amalei Tzvi said, Zavnis Lemis, sell it for the use of shrouds for a dead body. Vahava Ilo, now here's a little bit of a girsa change here. Vikayim Ilove, stay by it, Adu Machrich, until it's wrapped around the mace. Because you know what? Unless you make sure it's wrapped around the mace, guess what's going to happen with this expensive suit? Somebody's going to make off with it, right? Yeah. Amar Rabbi Chagai.
Actually, the solution of Rabbi was actually better, because by burning it, you could still mean that the object is, the money disappears. The gold is melted down.
What gold?
It's made out of...
you think it was made out of gold?
Maybe I assume it was.
It's an assumption. It doesn't say that here. Yeah. Okay. Says more. Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak, when he used to bring a suit home from the laundry or from the dry cleaners, It should be chayotin. He would sit down 10 tailors to check it to make sure there's no shatnas in it. He was always nervous that maybe in the tailors in the laundry they stuck in some aberrant thread and made a shatnas by error.
How did they test the meal base for shatnas?
By eyesight. The weaves were much coarser, so it was probably possible to tell. But when they couldn't tell, they would burn it. That's a 300,000 dinar garment. Used to make a command in this house. They shouldn't put a wrap, you know, whatever they call the spin, not a spindle. What are they called when the a spool? A spool of wool, mikame nova the ketan, together with a spool of linen, begin pipa because they get mixed together. Okay? Hashiraim vakachuchule. A new issue, getting back to the silk. Hashiraim is metaxa, type of silk called metaxa. Vakalach agbin kesar, another type of silk which came, is indigenous to this area. Armashin Gamliel, Shukazati Alkomet Farshayam, I asked all the sailors, Varma, they said, Kalchushmot's name is Kalcha. By the way, remember such an easy Yerushalmi since Brachos? I don't. Says Yerushalmi further. I will assume they might sign. They're also because they look. The silk is also mixed with linen because it looks like wool. Rav Amar Kosher also named Marisayan, anything which is also because of Marisayan, a famous quote, Afilu b'chadri chadorim, also it's even forbidden in a secret chamber, even in the chambers within chambers. Masisa pliga Rav. We're going to find a whole bunch of brises now with argue on Rav. One, Pishton shetzova b'cheres. Interesting halacha. A linen garment which was dyed with a color which is normally associated with wool. They had colors which are normally associated with the type of garment under construction here, right? So you dyed a linen garment with a dye which is normally reserved for wool. Lo yasimenu imra mefursama. You can't make from it a public hem. In other words, a hem which people are going to see, because people are going to say, hey, this guy is wearing shatnez, right? But if you want to use it in your pillows and blankets where people are not going to see it, so mutter, that's permissible. Masti saplita rav, the fine Bryce argues on rav. It says, ispazu most of nevodazar, if you might scatter in front of an idol, lo yeshulcheichum lakhtu inala to bend down and pick them up. It shouldn't look like you're bowing down to Avodah Zarah. However, if it was a private place, mutter is permissible. So we see the Maris sign is not also b'chadri chadorim. It's only us people are looking. The following Bryce argues on Rav. Partzufos, they used to make the fountains or the springs with openings in the shape of an Avodah Zarah. So you put your mouth right up to the opening and drink, because it looks like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah, right? My partzuva shematil mayim bekrochim. The images for which the water comes in big cities. Lo yitim piv al piv. You can't put your mouth on its mouth. Shlo yekim nashik l'Avodah Zarah. So it doesn't look like you're kissing Avodah Zarah. For you are mokum tzuruv if nobody can see what you're doing, because it's a private place. It's mutter. The following price argues on Rav. It says, "This is a Rav and shecht and begum. We now to shecht into a hole because of the verse of shecht into holes and gather blood to use in their religious ceremonies." I will also come and begum to talk based on, but you can make a hole in your house. Yishul sheikane sadam l'socho in order for the blood to enter it. In other words, because it's clear they're not going to use it for Avodah Zarah purposes. Vashuk lo yasakei, you shouldn't do this in the marketplace. Shlo yechake saminim, in order not to imitate the apikorsim. But you can do it at home. Says the Mora Masita Pligo Rap. Fine, Bryce argues the Rav. If you're wearing clothes on Shabbos and they got wet, you reach out of courtyard, you're allowed to lay them down in the sun. to try. Avalokin Egram, as long as nobody's watching, as long as it's not opposite the nation. My Cecil Pliga Rav, the following bright story is a rap. People are going to think you laundered them on Shabbos. Put them out to dry on Shabbos, people think you laundered them on Shabbos. Okay? My Cecil Pliga Rav, the following bright story is a rap. Beef shoe comer arbaim shoe sarabim. A sewer which has a roof over it for 4 amos shoe sarabim. Since the water comes out after 4 amos, ain't shalom sochamayim shabbos. You can't pour water to our shabbos because it looks like you're carrying the water because they go far away. The tailor we learned, however, concerning this imayum aschelo if they were in a covered pipe which went very far away, mutter. Onetz kushamim. If it's during the rainy season when people can't tell whether you spilled in it or not, it's mutter. So you notice mekachim, however, there are pipes coming out of the main water system, and I guess somehow you can tell how the water got there, then it's also. Tie back apart, we learned back apart, it said, again, if the people can't see these pipes coming out, mutter. Be as it may, Elin pleading out the Rav. All these cases argue. Rav said, "Marisain is also b'chadri chadorim." Do we say, see in these cases, Marisain being mutter in chadri chadorim? Answers the Gemara: Elaine pleading out of the Rav. You're right to argue, Rav. The lace long kiyum. However, they do not have any bearing. They literally have no existence. In other words, that Rav overcomes all of them because Rav is what status? Tana, so we can argue on prices.
You want me to pay you back? These were all prices. These were not
missions. All prices. Yeah, we've had them in Gemaras. Maybe one or two of them are Mishnais. I take that back. But that would tell us that Rav can even argue Mishnais, not just on Bryce's. Okay? Recording Xos is Mutter. Now, remember I told you this had to be taken away. Here it is. By Karmic Xos, by pillows and blankets, it's Mutter. Hard to tame our Bereka. That's only if the pillow and blanket are empty. If the pillow and blanket are full, it's also. Why would you think that is? Because then what happens when you lie in the pillow?
If it's full,
wraps itself around you, and therefore it provides you protection or comfort, and then it's also. That's right. Very good. Okay? It's only Mutter if it's placed on a plank. It's on top of bed. I feel a raken also. Even if it's empty, it's also. Why is that? Because the bed sags and wraps around you. See, I told you this whole heter would be taken away. You're walking down the marketplace. Famous case. You need to love kamayim. You found out you're wearing kilayim. What do you do? So you all know, right? Got to take it off, right? You didn't know that? You knew that.
Well, the question is if you're allowed to tell the person that he's wearing it.
More is going to resolve that. Train Amaroy. Two Amaroy. So one said it's Osri. You got to take it off right away. The Corona Marmutia one says Mutter. My Amaroy says it's Divra Dvartur. What kind of Chokhmas can you do? So rice is no way out of it. Man of Marmutter, he says, permissible. Kaihi di Oma Rabbi Zira, Godo Kovara Rabim. Great is the honor of the masses. The masses of people have to look at you naked, not your covered every year, right? Kovara Rabim Shudokas Amitzvah, below Tasa Shachas, and it pushes off the lav by 1 hour. So we don't pass this way. We pass, it doesn't pop. Push away the lot. But the Ushami does bring that speed, as does the Bali as well. Tani, we learned. Aim a doctor can be mace. It's interesting, aloha. If you have a coin in the house, and there's a mace in the house, so you don't have to ask the coin to leave. You don't tell inform the coin. However, the stipler says, son says, it's only where the tomb involves the Rabbana. Such as there's a door, let's say there's a mason here, and there's a coin in the next room. But the door is closed, so he's only Matame the Rabbana. Why is he Tame at all? Because it's two separate rooms. Because Sofa Meis Lotzeis, eventually the mace is going to come out through that door and out the front door of the building. And Sofa Meis Lotzeis, we say, is Matame Midrabbana. Even though the coin is not in the same room as the mace. So in that case, you don't have to tell the coin to leave. By Tumah Darabani, you don't have to alert him. It's a famous Nesivus on this. The Nesivus says, if you transgress a good kula, I'm going to give you guys. If you transgress an Aveir Darabani b'shoigeg, you don't require a kapora. Why is that? Because the basis of rabbinic authority is lo sasur mina davar sheirucha, which means you should not stray from that which they commanded you. When is it called straying? Only if you intend to veer off the path. But if you inadvertently commit it, it's a drabonon, so therefore it's not considered to be psar, and you don't require any kapara for that, because in transgress that which the Torah gave is the parameter of rabbinic authority. Actually, no. The Rezer Bershel Shechter writes on this basis. The Chora, one should never tell a community an error of his apostle. For that matter, tell them there's an error, even though there is none, right? Why is that? Because at worst, where are they going to be? Shogigim, and then the Rabbanon, right? They're going to unintentionally unbeknownst to them, carry an area which is a rabbinic prohibition because it has no eruv. So he asks, so Taka, how come anybody puts up a kosher eruv? So he says, because otherwise it's falsifying Torah precepts to do that. You're not allowed to falsify Torah precepts. That's perpetrating a hoax on everybody, and that's forbidden. Okay? Says the Gemara further.
Getting back to sitting on a blanket.
Yeah.
Who was the famous Rav in Europe?
Stifler.
Was it
Stifler? His father.
He wouldn't sit on the train?
Wouldn't sit on the train, yeah.
So, was he machmer on himself, or?
He was machmer on himself.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, panic. No, there were cushion seats. Is the man.
That's the Stifler?
No. That's him. How'd you know that? You recognize his picture?
No, they didn't have color in the days of the Stifler.
Stifler died in 1985.
He did?
Yes. They had plenty of color. This is how this fellow wrote the Sefer. For all we know, he's writing the Sefer as we see the picture.
So he's still living?
Yeah. He's the narrative of Nebrak. He's the biggest bucky in the world right now. He knows everything, backwards and forwards. Nothing he don't know. He's written books on the most obscure topics in halacha. He's written volumes about halachas of grasshoppers. You know, things like that. It's extraordinary, extraordinary bucky. Okay? In any event, after that interlude, says Mar, Tani, we learned, Ein medakti memeis. See, in Litvish Yeshivas, we have a defense mechanism. Whenever somebody knows too much to make us uncomfortable, it makes us uncomfortable, we start saying casting aspersions on his capacity to learn. Ah, he knows a lot. He's a bucky, but is he a lamdan? So, but the truth is that I think he knows enough that he doesn't have to worry about that. Okay, we learned. Tani. Aim a doctor keep a mace. Now, again, we don't inform a coin there's a mace there if the tumor involved is the rabbanon. And so to Veloba Kilayim base medrash, if you guys in the base medrash is wearing Kilayim, if it's Kilayim the rabbanon, then we don't notify it. Okay? And Kilayim the rabbanon, we really haven't defined it. We're going to define later when we talk about it in the morning, right? Shua Tavu even news. That concept, but we haven't talked about it yet in the evening. We'll get to it. Rabbi Yossi Avi Yossi Masne. Rabbi Yossi was sitting and learning, and there was a mace in the room. Now, he wasn't a Kohen, or man did nafak, but those who left because there was a mace, not in the room, but another room, so it was the Tumah Darabanan, man did nafak lay, oh, lomar v'lomide, he didn't say them anything to protest, man did Yossi, those remain. Also, lomar lay klum, he didn't say anything to protest their remaining.
Isn't it a bizayon to learn in the same room?
No, there wasn't the same room, that was the point I just made. It was so for Lotzis, but it wasn't in the same room. Yeah. People are learning. You don't notify them to leave. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? Rabbi Yami Abi Yossi Master. Rabbi Yami was sitting and learning. Omar Chazal Chavre, in his presence, one guy who was there said to another guy who was there, I'd love his Kilayim, we're in Kilayim. And I guess it was Kilayim to Rabbanan. Only Rabbi Ami said to the guy who notified the second guy, he said, you know what? Shlach Monach, you take off your clothes, be yoivle, and give it to him. Because he's learning here at Botland, so get out of here. Okay, Tani. We learned.
Comedic humor.
Ain't that right? It worked. Tani. Ain't I right? Beklein Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, there's no temporary permission for a kohen to wear kilayim. Now, that means he's allowed to wear kilayim at the time he's doing that avodah. The moment he finishes that avodah, he's got to take it off, because then, right, it's personal use. He's not allowed to use it. That's why I could say so. But Tani doesn't say kohen shiyotz tamir chaver. It says a kohen who went out of Beis Hamikdash to talk with his friend. Imi pligo, if he was there with a long time, told him to had to go to the mikveh. In Mishav, it's for a short period of time, Tonga Shadam Raglambi at least has to watch his hands and feet when he comes back in. But be that as it may, it doesn't say he's allowed to go out and, it doesn't say they have to change out of the key line, right. Says more, Kambi Big Day Zov, Kambi Big Day Lovan. Says more, we're talking about the Lovan. We're talking about the coins wearing the linen garments. And maybe he did take off his gartel, he took off the Avnei. So it's talking about linen garments, there's no shotness. But in Chanami, in the Kohen Gadol's garment, he can't even tarry in a moment to schmooze with his friends because he's wearing shotness. Lo yale alecho, you're not allowed to put upon you. Mutilati otachtecho, but you can put it underneath you. Avolom chachomi lo yaskein, this is the source for the stipulus chumra. Chachomi said you shouldn't do this. Shalote nima achas ol b'sor, lest one thread go on your flesh and provide you with geschmack, with protection, and therefore it's forbidden. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. No, he stood. He stood for hours. This is not a Maisa book. You know, by Litvak's tradition, this whole concept was a pet peeve of mine. So once you brought it up, might as well say, since we're, you know, we're doing well tonight, so once relax a little bit. This pet peeve of mine. Once this concept of stories. You know, Gdolim stories are very popular nowadays. I don't know if you noticed that. Well, in my latest article in the Jewish Observer nowadays, and use it as a vicarious means of Avodas Hashem. In other words, I don't have to achieve it as long as I can tell a story about it. Right? That's why, you know, people tell stories about Reb Moshe and Reb Yaakov and all these people, great people, but they're not doing it in order to emulate them, but rather to say, well, they were so great, so I feel good that I'm a fan of theirs. It's like they have a great accomplishment, so it's really a substitute for bona fide growth.
Maybe they're telling a story too, so we can emulate.
Usually not. My sense is that they don't. So yeah, I mean, that's why Litvak traditionally never told any stories, because they're busy competing with each other, trying to excel, right? So that's why I don't think the Stifler son would tell any stories.
There's a corollary after this.
Okay, you don't want it on the tape, do you? That's not necessary. New Mishnah. We're going to get to the, do this mission, then we'll stop. Mitbuchos Yadayim, v'mitbuchos Sfarim. Now, mitbuchos Yadayim are hand towels. I'm sorry, not hand towels. They're handkerchiefs. Mitbuchos Sfarim are mantles of Sefer Torah. Mantlach. Mitbuchos Spag, which are towels, Amen, Mishu Kalim, there's no Kalim in any of these things. I think the first one is a handkerchief, pretty sure about that. Because the last one is a towel. Right. Right, it's a handkerchief. Mit pachas hayodayim. Right, handkerchief. Right, Blazer says in all these cases there is kilayim. Mit pachas hasaporim, barbers, whatever they're called. The thing your barber puts on you when you go to the barber shop.
An apron,
right. Mit pachas hasaporim, asurus of shim kilayim, they're vinnin cause of kilayim. Tamotini, we learned over there about tumataro, shosh mit pachosain. There are three types of kerchiefs. Shoyadayim, handkerchiefs, tamea medras. It's sometimes used to sit on or lie on. Let's put your handkerchief on your head or below your head when you're lying down. So therefore, it's tamea medras, a zov, or medras of a needle. The shal sapor is shal svarim, the matlach used for Sefer Torah, they're not used to lie down or sit on, but if you touch them, they're metame tumas tmei mace. Shel tachrich nivle b'nei Levi, those that are used protect the musical instruments of the b'nei Levi or any other musician. Torah miklum, they're not mekabel tumah because they're not kalim. Because kalim imply that they have usage independent of being the cover for whatever they originally created for. Okay? Rabbi Lo b'shem Rabbi Yochan semi neshi noisna al keses v'yoshin aleha. Why is a handkerchief tamei? Mattress because people sometimes sleep on it, right? They put it underneath themselves and sleep on it. You put it on your pillow and you sleep on it. You put it underneath your arms like this. Okay? So that means you make use of it as something to, so to speak, sit on. Or rely on. Rav Amar Osur Balogri Yosef says, by all these three cases mentioned, Mishnah Tosser, and they are kilayim, like those who asser. The lama lama Rabbi Lezer. Why does he say straight up he's passing at Rabbi Lezer? So I'll tell you why. Because he's tani tani machlef. Because there's some Mishnah which says the exact opposite of Lezer's mekel and chachamim are asser. So everyone wants to say that loch is like the mandamar says asser. Rabbi Yochanan, you have mapa amonoi. Rabbi Yochanan used to put a garment on his like a napkin, which was made of kilayim, on his clothes in order to protect them. You know, when he was eating. Because of kilayim, says more no. The lawyer now he's not doing to protect himself in the heat because of the heat or in the cold because of the cold. He's doing to protect himself because of dirt. That's not called kilayim. That's okay.
According to this logic, so it has been down.
I agree. Right. Not to protect your clothing. What? That's a good question. That protects your hand. So which protects your clothing is not kilayim. Right. It has to protect your hand from something. Okay, here it's the emphasis: the lo yinavlun monoi, right? In order not to get his garments dirty. Okay, Amrav Zikra said, "Yoev le Rabbi Avuna be'asav emapa." They gave Rabbi Avuna a egg. In any event, look at this: they gave him an egg in a baseball glove. He's making lime, which I can lime in it. Vulo mikabel, he wouldn't accept it. Because he held that this is similar to not wearing it in the sun because of the heat, or in the cold because of the cold, and here too he's protecting himself from the heat with a baseball glove which is holding the egg. Okay, so it's not the same kind of protection, right? You can still make a point from your chiluk, obviously, but you see that any type of protection, such as insulating, such as an oven mitt. The people actually check their oven mitts. Are you aware of that? Last time we went to the Shatner's place. It's on their price list. Suits, dresses, baseball gloves, oven mitts. And this is the Makar. Sazamar Mitbechos HaPorim Asporim, the mantles of Sefer Torah of Shirishua Bar Nachmashem, he has said, Nesh also saw Kamin Teak. You make it like a container, and it should be Masima Becheko. You put the mantle in your lap, and also Sefer Torah Salah. In other words, it has independent existence, because not just use the cover Sefer Torah. When you take it off the Sefer Torah and you want to read the Sefer Torah, you put the mantle on your lap, and put the Sefer Torah on top of it. So it has other uses as a keli other than it's being bought to the Sefer Torah. I have another interpretation, because you use the mantle to heat your hands. So it's, again, providing protection. Rabbi Bachil, Rabbi Ba, said, Rabbi Ba, and the Grotcher's next word should be, V'lama, eino asu mishum kilayim. He said, no, you have to understand that for him to warm his hands would be awesome, there's no doubt about that. Our whole question is, when he's using it as something else, but for the purpose, no, I'm not sure I got that right. Just a second. No, I got that wrong. All right, let me go back a line, right? But Rabbi Chiya Yisrael Shem Rav said, "Rivneishu mechamim bo yodah," because he's eating his hands. So they're about to tell us that that's why it's kilayim. All right, Rabbi Bar Chiya, Rabbi Ba, if that's the case, v'lom ein osim shalayim. What's the havamin of the Tarakama? Our Mishnah says it's okay. If you're using it to warm your hands, ain't the chakilayim gadol mizeh? Right, if it's a mantle which you're putting on your lap, told the Sefer Torah says that might not be called kilayim. Kind of comical, it's okay. But using it to warm your hands, of course it's kilayim. It's no shiloh, it's like gloves. Omar Ravada, Omar Le Rav, no. Omar Le Velo Ravu, Rav Omar Osur, Velo Divir Osur. So he says, no. Rav, who came to say it's Osur, he meant to say that everybody, Rabbi Lezer Osurs, even by mantles of Sifrei Torah, I'm going like Rav. I don't know what Tanakam holds. I'm explaining Rav's Sfarah, that who passed me like Rabbi Lez in all cases, that no matter what, it's awesome. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Ba, V'lomar lo Amar Le, why did you mention Mesalakta? That it's a... No, when you put the Sefer Torah back.
One second.
Why didn't he answer Rabbi Ba and Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef? Why didn't answer our mission there? Because our mission is to tell you about when you're taking the Sefer Torah back to Yoro. That's why according to Adakam it's Mutzer. Whereas I'm talking about a case where you just take the mantle off the Sefer Torah and use it to warm your hands, and that's the case which is also. Why didn't you draw that distinction? So says the Mar Amarle, he said, Ilu Amarle, Belokach in Asur Banoya. He says, no, you're missing the point. If you would have said that dichotomy, that Amish is talking about where you're putting it back, and that's why there's no key line. Whereas the statement of Rabbi Yoina, of wherever it was, Rabbi Bob, Rabbi Chia, but it's the name of Rav, it's talking about a case where you're not putting it back in the Aron, but you're taking the mantle off in order to warm your hands, right? So says the Gemara, Ilu Amar Ka, again, Ilu Amar Le, Belo Kach in Asur Banoya. If he would have said that, listen, isn't it also Banoya anyway? In other words, you wouldn't have to ask because of key line. You wouldn't have to say it's usher to take the mantle of the Sefer Torah and use it for your hands tomorrow because of key line. It's usher because it's designated for Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to warm your hands with the mantle of a Sefer Torah. It's usher by no for any other purpose, right? So, blokach in usher by no, it's an usher by no anyway. Marvel and Maymarle. What? How could he possibly have devised such a scenario? Literally, what could he have said? How could he have said this? Meaning, I don't know if I'm making myself clear enough, but meaning, when is the only time you're allowed to use the mount of servitor to warm your hands? On your way back to the Yaron. Because then, since you're on your way back to the Yaron, and your hands are in there naturally, so you're not getting an additional anah from it, other than, you know, that what you're getting by coincidence while you're carrying. Collateral anah, let's call it. Okay, so that's what it means here. When he said, when he said Shemichami Bas Yodav, and in that case it's Osir, you can't answer, well, what's the case that's Mutter when you're taking it back to the Aron? Because he meant, when are you warming your hands with it, which is Osir? When you're taking it back to the Aron. Because that's the only time when you're allowed to warm your hands. Because it's only collateral hanoah from the job which you're performing. So if that's the case, we have a problem. The problem is with the problem which we were addressed before. If you're warming your hands at a time which is permissible, and you're taking it back to your own, and that's awesome, right? So what's the case that Tadakama was Matir? And at that we're answered, I don't know. I'm going like Rav, who said it's also regardless. Okay? Mitpachos a sapak. A towel, why is it mitame? No, why is it kilayim? Well, I guess that's why it's mitame. Why is it kilayim? Because you wear it sometimes. When you see a Rebbe coming and you in the bathhouse, so you wrap yourself in it. Rabbi Avosh Rabbi Yochan said, Baal Norei Noshim, oversized towels which women use. As for Mishin Klein, that's because you're crying because they wrap themselves in it. Ki Baal Norei Noshim, I Baal Norei Anoshim. There's no difference between the oversized towels which men use and oversized towels which women use. Mao Baal Norei Noshim, what's the etymology of the word Baal Norei Noshim? The aprons of women. The rabbanon the kisarmi antitia, whatever that means, and an oversized bath towel. Mitbachos sapar saparim it should be, the barber's aprons. When are they also because of Tamer Miskavim Shum Malbush when you want to wear them? I don't know anybody ever want to wear them, but if you want to wear them, I'll even them Miskavim L'Shem Malbush. You don't intend to wear them, rather just to protect your clothing. As I said previously, Lo Bedar, there's no problem with that. We'll stop here for this evening. Today we did Mem and Mem Aleph.
We're Mem Aleph.